Please rise and salute America's sweethearts, Corey and Joel.
All right, there we are. Welcome back, people. It's Corey and Joel back with you.
Hallelujah.
80 minutes of great... What do you call this? I was going to say stand-up comedy. It's not stand-up comedy.
67 minutes of great comedy and the rest is filler.
Yeah. So welcome back, people. We got a great guest for you today. He's our regular...
Been a while.
It's been a while. When were you on last? It's been a while.
I don't know. It's been a while. Last time was the Ultimate Fighting show.
You were telling us about... So that was earlier this year. Just gone to the show, or did you not gone?
I was either on my way there or just went. Yeah. So somewhere around March.
That was in February, March.
So here he is, ladies and gentlemen, from Toledo, Ohio, weighing in at over 200 pounds.
Oh, I am not. 185, you bastard.
185.
A buck six, because you're 2 inches tall. Ladies and gentlemen, from Toledo, Ohio, the caffeinated voice of reason, Steve Sabo, everybody.
There he is, Steve Sabo.
Hey,
I'm going to fade out. This is The Hive from their new album. We'll talk about this later. But
yep.
Steve Sabo is here. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah, we were also debating. I meant to do this, Corey. Remember we were gonna mark the wall when Steve walked in? Do you remember that?
The height charts?
We forgot to do that, yes.
Oh, we can do that when I leave.
There was a debate about whether or not you were 5'9". Maybe we'll measure you at the end of the show.
I wanted to do You Cannot Guest on this show if you're not taller than Steve.
I am 5'9". I might have shrunk a little
bit. Actually, a lot of chicks couldn't get in if we did that.
We were going to mark the wall like at 7-Eleven, like as you're walking out. Right. So as you walked in, we could put 5'9 right on
the
wall.
It'd be great if we did that, and then we could put PJ up.
That's the crime chart.
And Rob Rose, we could have the height chart.
There you go.
He was tall. Like, it would be Lundy and Rob Rose.
Yeah.
PJ's the biggest. They've been in the same room together, haven't they?
There was a Battle of the Titans.
I can't remember that.
Like Big John Studd and Andre the Giant.
I know.
What
was PJ, 6'6", 6'5"?
Yeah.
I don't know how big he says
he is.
Man. I think he says he's 6'5".
Yeah. 6'5" of raw trailer park brutality. That's what it is.
Yeah, if he had hair, he'd be a little bit taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all man right there.
He doesn't get any extra. You know, you and I get an inch.
Right. I get it.
We get a wavy Italian inch or two.
Yeah, I'm losing it, though.
Folks, welcome back to the most inside show on all of the internet.
Well, at this point, let's assume people have heard the show before.
I'm always assuming there's new listeners.
You always assume there's new listeners? Really?
I'm hoping that there's new listeners.
I guess there should be new listeners.
Now, we know who's listening to the show every week.
Yeah.
Right.
Losers.
But you should hope every week that there's at least one new listener every week.
And we
would like
listeners.
That to be. But see, we don't. It's hard to promote this show because it doesn't have any specific angle. It's not a show about. What is this a show about?
Well, comedy.
But I mean, you know what I mean? It's not really about anything
specific.
See,
in
specific.
The early days of podcast, Joel and I were talking about the early days of podcasting the other day.
Right.
We used to care. And we used to get violently upset with other people. And,
in the
early days, it was anybody who got an angle, like the Two Twats Take a Bubble Bath podcast.
Yeah.
They would get attention.
Right.
But just guys doing a comedy show or just a regular general talk show.
It's hard to promote because who do you promote it to?
Well, it's talent at this point, though. Being better at it than other people.
We know that. But, I mean, it's like it's hard to say, like, if you had a show about whatever your interest is, video games or...
Yeah.
You know, there's a podcast about Harry Potter that blows up because, you know,
right.
you get all those people, and it's like our show is not
good.
I tell you this, bloggers and podcasters, you've all celebrated the death of traditional media, right? You're all like, oh, yeah, now we're going to blow the walls open.
Right.
But here's what you get. 50,000 assholes doing something that no one ever hears because you can't break through the clutter.
Yeah.
Because there are thousands of them,
When you have a building, someone's got to interview you and hire you.
Sure.
Put you on the air.
Sure.
You have to be vetted to some degree.
All right.
It's not always good, but it limits the options of any douche that can do it.
Well, I was hoping my podcast would have made your Podcast Sucks program, but I didn't see it.
What
you know,
is
we
podcast?
Saw
it's
you're
your,
doing
your
one.
Sister, right?
Me and my sister, yeah.
Yeah, I don't,
Sibling
yeah.
rivalry.
Ah. And well, is it,
we'll
how's
review
that going
it.
For you?
We recorded all of them last year,
and
so we just posted once a month or about once a month.
Yeah.
So they're all outdated. We still have a couple that aren't there. My sister's crazy, and we were gonna record some more in August, but she was too crazy to do it. Like literally, no, I mean seriously.
Oh, really?
She had a little period. I don't know if she's over that or what.
Really?
I kind of stopped talking to her then.
Okay.
But I really did.
That would hurt your podcast. If you're not talking to your podcast partner,
right.
That's going to hurt the show, yes.
Well, we made plans to record
more
shows.
Joel and I never let that come between us.
Yeah.
She's crazy. I mean, she's like, she gets very emotionally attached to every little thing, like everything. And it's like she goes crazy. Like some guy she's supposed to go on a date with, and he canceled at the last minute, and she flipped out for a day. Like she couldn't deal with that. I can't do the podcast. I can't do anything like this. What would my mind going on, dude? I can't imagine what you're going to do. Like, Hill, it's one guy. It's one date. Who cares? You don't care because. I go,
God, I wish I had the meow, 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 meow sound effect.
Well, you know.
I don't have meow, that meow,
that's meow, on meow, you. Meow. You've had that enough.
I know, and I lost it.
But, Steve, for those of you that don't, you haven't heard the show, Steve is a great stand-up comedian. He also books some comedy gigs around the
country.
And
he's a columnist along with his sister, Gail.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm one of the most hated bookers, apparently, I understand.
Really? Why do
we'll get into you later. But, we'll rail
people,
about your booking.
Well, you want to talk about
I don't know. PJ, one of the things PJ had said to me the last time I talked to him, he's drunk and he goes, you realize everybody in Detroit hates you, don't you?
Please.
And I'm like going, really? Everybody
really? Did
hates
you talk to PJ after his 15th retirement from comedy?
I love PJ. But he's like, you know, Corey and Joel, they don't like you. They badmouth you on the show.
Oh,
well, I expect that
it
from Corey and Joel. Come on. That's what
we
they do.
We don't badmouth you in any.
Not on the show.
No. Well, no, but I mean, I think we badmouth Steve. We're supposed to be badmouth.
I have a specific issue with your booking.
Okay.
Boy, which is what?
Which do you
want
to get into?
Do you want, no, I think we did this last time, Tien, and we don't have to do this again.
No, it's even more than you send out these emails and are like, look, no hard feelings, but
right,
I'm basically pulling my booking out of my ass.
That's
you're
not true.
No, you're like, I put names in a hat and I draw them out. You're not
Steve,
really.
That's
Steve,
not true at all.
You're not technically booking. It's like first come, first serve with
that's
you.
Not true at all.
And if
that's
I'm not
Steve
sitting
sends
on the computer
out a thing
all day
that says, if you want these gigs, here they are. Send me an email and I'll
this
book
is,
whoever you get.
This is how it goes. All right. This is what I do. I have a huge list of people that I send the list out to. If you look at the list, you've seen it. There's probably 200 names on each thing. I send out a list. I have X amount of gigs, and I send out a list for all these gigs. Now, the people that respond, and it's actually a process. I actually have to get spreadsheets. I write down everybody. I've been trying to do it a little bit differently where I only send out a couple at a time.
Okay.
But everybody that responds to whichever gig they want, I put them in this little box. So I have like 8 people in this box, 12 people in this box, 30 people in this box. And like certain gigs, a lot of people want. Like Sturgis or Bay City, I get tons of responses for that. But I get something like my Cumberland, Maryland, I'm lucky if I get 3.
Okay.
Or New York. Now, if people, those are gigs that are easier to get because less people want them.
And then you put this into the magnetron and it spits out a
no
demo.
So I take, let's say Sturgis, Michigan as an example, right? I'll get 30 people that want to do Sturgis, Michigan. So of that, I look at who the headliner is. Let's just say at that point. Come on.
I will put you in Bay City.
I look at who the headliner is, and I look at, all right, how
Matt
well
McClary,
do I
you will go to Michigan City, Indiana.
I go, how well do I think these guys will match up?
He's
and then
the
I look
Cyber
at
Cyber Booker 2000 computer that he fires up.
But I also got to look
Corey,
at
Corey, you're not ready to handle Moose Knuckle, Alabama.
No. But I got to look at who that club is looking at. Like, I'll give you a great example.
No, I understand. And you, last time you didn't book me, you said it's a Hunter's Widow show.
Yes, exactly.
Which means it's like white.
It's a bunch of middle-aged married women is what.
Right.
And believe me, Steve, having done your gigs, I know that 80% of your gigs take place in places where they just got plumbing and electricity. I understand.
You're right. I mean, it's
and
true.
And I'm a little more urban. I understand that.
Absolutely.
I go to play. I got all this black material in my act, and I look around. I go, you've never seen a black in this town. There's not. You don't have one black within hundreds of miles of here.
Exactly. And the problem with the shows that I book is I need, sadly, for the most part, they have to be a little bit more generic, at least first few weeks, till I know what they're going to like. If they go for more dirty or they go for more clean, then I can adjust it to that. Like Seymour, Indiana, like I told you, Corey, I said, that's a great place for you to be, but you never respond to that one. You don't want to do that one. So that's a club that I think you'd be perfect for.
The money for Oshkosh, Wisconsin's a little slim for, and that one goes up all the time. But that's just too far for the money that they're offering.
But see, that's something like if you took one of the double, like you can do that in Sturgis or something, then it makes more sense.
But
or you can ride with somebody.
Well, I always say, book me with PJ if he's going.
Right,
and
right.
You never do because you're afraid we're going to burn the club down.
Well, no, I could do that sometime, but it's like
PJ's got dates coming up that he said
he didn't ask to have you with
him. Oh, so that son of a bitch!
He didn't.
I just talked to him 2 days ago.
Oh, now we need to get PJ.
He said
here.
He's doing Michigan City and Oshkosh, and I said, well, I would do it if I'm going with you.
Well, waiting backstage, we have. Let's bring him in right now. It's PJ. Come on out here.
Hey, people.
I booked him with Bob Cook because he said he liked working with Bob Cook the last time he worked with Bob Cook. So I go, okay, I'll put him with Bob Cook.
Who the fuck is Bob Cook?
He's a guy out of Columbus, Ohio?
I don't know, it makes sense to put two guys from Detroit together in a long run like that.
Well, yeah, but if he likes this... PJ doesn't like a lot of people, so I got to put him with somebody I know.
Put me
like.
On the list of PJ.
I went on the road just for the... Me and PJ took a gig together.
Okay.
That yeah,
I'm not
going to
bitch about it.
We took the one
muscle.
By Chicago. Whatever that was. It was the thing that goes once a year.
Once a year?
Yeah, the thing
by Chicago. Yeah.
And it was a fabulous gig, but we had a fight about PJ eating chicken McNuggets in the car.
Okay.
And I don't think he wants to ride with me anymore because I yelled at him.
Okay.
Right.
Do you have chicken
because,
fingers?
You know, I yelled at him.
Chicken fingers?
Yeah, that's what he sounded like, too.
He's dipping chicken nuggets into hot mustard while driving down the freeway.
Oh, he was driving,
hour,
too.
And I'm like, first of all, the hot mustard is stinking up the whole car. He's going to kill us on the road. And I'm like,
you've never
fuck
seen
all this.
A chubby guy this sensitive.
No. But I'm just like, it's
he's
not,
got
it's
this
not,
sensitive
it's
nose.
It's not the way I travel.
His tummy gets
It's not the way I travel.
Oh, you know what?
And so we had a little, and maybe that's why me and PJ don't want to work. And PJ doesn't want, I would work with PJ anytime.
Look, PJ and I get along great.
I will tell you, look, I'll give you something with the PJ.
All right.
I'll do that the next chance I get a chance.
All right.
And as far as, I'll tell you the worst road story I've had recently of riding with somebody. Because, you know, and you'll know this is honest when I say this. Because
I'll ride with you, Steve. I've ridden with you.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah.
We did, me and Jason Bensey lives, you know, down the road from me. So it's a good place to have somebody that goes with.
Yeah.
We did a road trip together, and Bensey... I wanted to kill him at the end of the at the end of the like 3 days or 4 days that we did. I wanted to literally kill him because I'll just give you some quick examples because I've told the story a lot of times to other people. But the one thing he does when he's it's his car. So his car, his rules. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
You know. And first off, he won't drive a mile over the speed limit. Not 1 mile over the speed limit because according to him, his quote is, "I drive like theoretically there's drugs in the car." So if you know what that means.
Theoretically.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a good theory. That theory might be true. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
theoretically,
there's drugs in the car. Sure.
In a hypothetical universe, I've got maybe 1 or 2 pounds of weed.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
In the driver's console.
So it's driving me nuts because I have my GPS and the time is just cranking down. It's like estimated time 5 o'clock, then it's like 5:30, then 6 o'clock. I'm like, can we just freaking go?
All right.
So that's number one. But second thing he does, he has a perpetual search for Brandy. The song Brandy, your fine girl.
Yeah.
He puts the radio on scan. I'm not kidding. On scan for 4 days.
Are you serious?
For 4 days. I'm not kidding. For 4 days. Really? He wouldn't. And if he finds Brandy, which he found twice, he'll listen to the rest of that song for like whatever the 2 minutes are. And then scan again for Brandy for hours and hours and
have you,
hours and
have you
hours.
Recommended getting a CD that has Brandy on it.
That would have been a lot smarter, wouldn't it?
Is that by Looking Glass?
Yes, that is. Yeah,
I don't even know, but you think I would
Brandy,
at this point.
You're a fine girl.
But there's actually like four versions of it.
You would be.
We found like two other versions
but
of it.
My love,
please,
my
life,
and my lady.
You're turning your microphone off.
Yeah.
For completely good reasons. All right.
But douche.
But that's just the beginning.
Look, I'm sorry I'm eating hot mustard in your fucking
car.
Yeah. You bastard.
Those are just two of the highlights of that trip. So that's just, it just... I just want to choke him by the end of the trip.
PJ and I get along great. I can drive when he gets shit-faced. It's a wonderful team.
You don't drink? You drink.
I drink, but not as much as PJ.
Yeah.
You and I too enjoy, you know, strip clubs where in the middle of nowhere with old
always
ladies.
Always brings up that one strip
bags.
Club.
That was the most frightening strip club in the world.
Wow.
But I'll go there as an ethnographer. I want to study. Yeah, I go strictly, not for any lurid, you know,
see, I don't even know what ethnographer is. That's a good word. I'm pretty good with the dictionary.
And now you wonder why you're not booked in Seymour, Indiana, because you use words like ethnographer.
No, and I understand some of those rooms, but it's like, you know.
No, Seymour would be a good place
for it. It seems like
you're
throwing shit on a wall. And,
well, you know what? I performed at a guy's, just to talk about gigs, and I told you the story. I hung out with Steve last week for a bit, and I had just come from performing at a 60-year-old man's birthday party.
Right.
And, I mean, okay, here's to set the stage a little bit. The guy was 60. Most of his friends were his contemporaries.
Sure.
A lot of people from work, a lot of just his friends his age. And then his parents were sitting in the front row.
Right.
So a 60-year-old man's parents are there.
That's just a nightmare.
And it was like, you know, and it wasn't a great gig, but I had to do some things that I normally wouldn't do to get over with them.
Right.
And, you know, and so I didn't really do my show. And the parts of the show that I did do didn't go over as well as they might normally. But I had to make a few, you know, I had to change my act a bit. And I was the only, you know, I was the only act there. It wasn't like a real comedy.
But that's a very good point.
Being a comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
This is the point that I'm making. You make that adjustment. Corey doesn't want to compromise any of the show for the audience, which I respect as an artist. But for a club in buttfuck India, you know, it's not good.
Corey gives you the show that, you know, that's, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. Corey has a funny show.
Hack!
All right. Yeah, I'm a hack.
As an artist, I appreciate it, but as, you know.
I hope that was directed at Steve.
You know.
It was both of you fucks. You're both a couple of twits.
No, but I mean, Corey writes, you know, Corey believes that, you know, it's fine to, you know, do whatever you want at the stage, call anyone you want a motherfucker, because, you know, Bill Hicks never gave in to anything, and he was the greatest comedian of all time.
Right.
And it's sort of this thing, and he doesn't realize that, you know, it doesn't really matter how you do or don't do.
Well, you know what's funny? Like,
I mean, it's not all that. It's the most important thing, when I go to a gig, and this is, you know, my view has changed over the years. Now my gig is, what do I have to do to get my money? Like, when I did that guy's birthday party, I said, I have to do 30 minutes. I've got to be, you know, relatively clean up, piss these people off. Sure. I just want my money.
Right.
I'll do, you know what I mean? Just give me my money and I'm going home.
Look, I recognize that about some of your rooms. And if you'll tell me that room's not right for me, I'll say fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are rooms I think I can work just fine. And you, sometimes I feel like I don't know what I got to do to get attention. But that's all right.
Well,
enough about the booking. Well, no, I don't want to turn this.
Well, you started on the booking. It was your idea.
I'm going to tell you, this is not really specifically about the booking, but I'm going to tell you like a little thing.
I know you got 100 guys coming at you every day.
But the average person is stupid. I'm saying this right now. I'm not trying to insult everybody on earth. But like my assistant, Tara, I have a new assistant, Tara. She's worked for a couple of months, right?
Okay.
And I hate, like, she'll say something and then I'll be, you know, I'm a comic. So I'm going to say something smart-ass and funny to her.
Yeah.
And she won't even get half the time. And I'm like, and she works for a comedy agency.
Yeah.
Like she goes, we're talking about gas prices because gas went up to $3.17 by my house. And she goes, you used to go to Sam's Club because it's a lot cheaper. I go, well, I was going to, but I just got back from Son of Sam's Club, which is just a stupid joke. And she goes, what? Yeah. And she goes, what was that, Costco? I go, you don't know who Son of Sam is? She goes, no, who's that? I go, David Berkowitz? She goes, no. I go, his dog told him to kill people? Nothing? Yeah. You got no clue what I'm talking? And she's not dumb, you know? She's not dumb. She seems like she would be, but she's not.
Because I just told a joke and I'm funny.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
I hear exactly what you're saying.
I actually, speaking of gas prices, is there any rate? Let me just throw this out at you again as a booking thing. The money hasn't really, your gig money hasn't gone up. You've been booking rooms for
cost of
six
living
years,
increase.
5 years, 6 years at least, right?
Yes.
And we've gotten no raise whatsoever from you. A couple of other bookers have actually, for most of the gigs, built a little bit of a raise in.
Some of them have, yes.
Some of them have. It's not a big raise. It's not enough to make you, you know, want to quit your six-figure job and go do comedy.
Right.
But it's enough to cover, you know, the price of gas increase.
Sure.
Your gigs are the one booker's gigs who haven't gone up at all.
Well, the theory that I have is the first thing is I got to get the gig.
Okay.
And anytime, right now, the price I'm giving them is pretty scary because most of them are paying less for a band that plays all night.
Okay.
So they're scared to do the comedy thing. So I give them this particular price that I give them. And then once they make money with it, I go, well, I can pitch them to up the thing. Now, let's say you have a club that isn't making very much money, and they're on the cusp of canceling anyway.
Sure.
If I try to raise the money on them, that's just not going to happen.
One area I see called management salary that is where you could possibly crip.
Oh, no, stop.
Well, no, I'm just saying executive CEO
Steve,
salary.
No, but I think what Steve's theory is, if I can just summarize
He takes a cut of what he bills
in. But I just want to, if I can rephrase what you're saying, is that you're going in at a low price.
Right.
You're undercutting other bookers to get the room.
Right.
But then the room, it doesn't seem like the room, it goes away anyway.
Well, it's
a lot of times.
Sometimes I get them to stay.
Like, I understand why you're going in at a low price because there's competition.
Early on, look, if the room lasts for 6-7 months, then you can maybe adjust the fee.
That's what I try to do with certain ones. But then you have rooms like, look at Bay City as an example.
Which has been around for years.
It's been around for years. But if you've been, as Joel just went there, you had, what, 17 people?
Yeah, we had about 17 people there,
And so they're not, if I tried to do anything to them, they're gonna go, no, we're done, and they already owe me $1,000. You say, I can cut my fee, but I'm not getting paid for most of the places anyway. And Bay City, I only make $15 to book that club. How much? What can I cut on that?
That's see, he's playing the poor man's ass.
He's pleading poverty.
He's pleading poverty.
Well, I understand. And
some clubs
and having
I make
done,
money.
And
but,
having done some of your rooms, and I turn up, and it's a town with 9 people and 2
right,
Mexican
right.
immigrant farm workers who aren't going to come and watch comedy. That's a lot of taco salads and you know, moose burgers they got to sell.
That's right.
The place that Bill and
whoa.
What was that? Was that your mic? That's that thing, yeah.
Ooh,
fix that.
The place
ooh.
Bill and I did in Sheboygan.
Hot mic.
Yeah,
hot
was mic.
The Dirty
computer.
Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good example.
Yeah.
They
can't make any money in that club. I understand that. I understand the economics are tight, but...
But
the gas is retarded to go to certain...
I know.
But can't... What maybe the idea should be that you'll say you're going to have to charge more money for the show. But they... I mean, they're going to have to charge... But I'm saying, if you raise your... Okay, you need to pay us more.
Right.
Okay, so in order for you to pay us more, you have to charge the club more. In order for the club to make their money, they need to charge their audience more. But it seems like somewhere along the line, somebody's unwilling to do whatever it is.
Right.
And therefore,
right.
you know, it's like if they're unwilling to charge the customers more, then we don't get paid more.
Right.
At
absolutely.
The end of the day. So isn't that really the economics of it? Is to just,
it's
you the, have to exert and, some influence over these people and say, look, you're going to have to charge $10 to get in instead of $5.
Trust me, it's hard to do. Like I was doing a club earlier today. Working a club, it's in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. I'm trying to get this club to go, right?
Yeah.
It's to try to make an attachment to Oshkosh so it's worth driving
sounds
up there.
Sounds like a
so
wonderful place.
So there's a couple rooms up in a row. And this guy goes, oh, we don't charge for this. I'm telling this to people. He goes, we don't charge cover charge, so we're not going to go, well, I recommend you charging cover charge. You get part of your money back. And well, it ain't going to come if I can charge a cover charge. I go, well, I do my whole spiel. They're not going to have any respect for the show. You got to have this.
Which is all true.
Which is all true.
You're like the hick whisperer.
Really?
You have to deal with like these savage jungle primitives.
Dude, listen, I'm not trying to be insulting the people in general, but most people that own bars, you know, shouldn't own pets. They're
sure.
idiots. They're freaking idiots. I have to do everything for them. Like, but my point, they had another club. They go, well, how much for just one comic? I go, well, I don't recommend doing just one comic.
Yeah.
Well, we can't afford to pay, you know, $400. I'm like, going, you can't afford to pay $400. I go, what kind of entertainment
then,
do you want?
And then when you get to these towns, there's 3 bars.
Okay.
And everybody in the bar, in the town goes.
Let me give you a piece of advice, Steven. I don't know much about booking comedy, but here's this thing. Why don't you try to find rooms where people actually live? Has that ever occurred to you to go within the city limits?
Here's the problem.
Has that ever
big clubs push
of
you out?
Here's the problem. Well, that's the problem that I have with that is that I set up a code or whatever you want to call it, a moral type code for me, and that code is that I'm not going to book anything within 30 miles of a club that I know exists.
Okay.
Right. 25, 30 miles. Whatever.
All
I figured
right.
that. Right. Now, other bookers would say, you know. The C one, you know, if we, I don't know if you guys actually use the names. Book
he's not a cock. I don't know.
Right.
The C word?
I don't know. Okay, but go ahead. It's fine.
You
it
know, just decided he's going to, he looks at the place I have clubs and then tries to open something in the same town as me.
Okay.
He just opened the one up in Sturgis, you know, the other day.
Yeah.
Which, and then what you do is you get in a battle like in Finley.
Right.
The but, deathly battle.
Which is stupid. I don't go into any of those battles. Finley is a great example.
Why aren't
of
you
something.
In Finley?
What's that?
Yeah, because the one operator died in Findlay. Why aren't you in there?
What happened in Findlay with the other agent?
The great Findlay, Ohio
well,
comedy
it,
war.
Because the people, I'm on the tram. What does Findlay, Ohio have
what
to
is
do
Findlay,
with
Findlay, Ohio?
It
how about
nothing?
Düsseldorf?
Okay.
Have
but
you thought about opening a room in Düsseldorf?
Yeah, you know, the Yellowknife, Ontario, Canada needs a...
That's right.
Understand a couple things. When a room closes in a town... That clown is dead. That clown. That town is dead for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. Because when something closes, everybody in that town assumes, oh, comedy doesn't work.
Right.
All the other bars, they go, oh, they had it down there and it didn't work. So Lima, Findlay, those clubs, and there's a bunch of clubs that closed this year. Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
They club. And
I know because I was on my way to Buffalo and the club closed.
So the other clubs, they don't want to book comedy in that town for at least a year. So that's hard to make going there.
Right.
And if I don't. Now, my moral code is I'm not going to go within 30 miles of a club that I know exists. Now, what that means, though, is there are bookers that have rooms that I don't even know they have. If I don't know, there's nothing I can do about it.
How about slightly larger cities like, say, Dayton?
Dayton?
How about a town with more than 2 stoplights? That's what
I'm
asking.
That is a thing that I sort of like. Because I know lots of clubs locally in Detroit that want to do comedy.
Right, right.
And, you know, for me, it's always like I don't want to take that responsibility on a lot of times. And I feel like maybe you would want to do that. But then again, if you're afraid of running against...
No, I'm not. It all depends on the situation. But, like, another example. You said like Dayton as a great example. I opened up a once a month room in Springfield, Illinois, which is 30 miles from Dayton. It's a big town. It's got all this stuff. And because I opened that, now the club at Wiley's banned me from the club I've opened the room 30 minutes away that was once a month. And that's absurd. But as a comic booker, it creates a lot of problems.
Another problem you have, though, is that often when these one-night offshoots do open up in a major metro area,
mm-hmm.
I just did one in Clinton Township, which is the outer edges of Detroit suburbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still within a big, huge populated area.
Sure.
Every guy who lives in town goes, yeah, it's an off night. I'll go do that.
Sure.
They don't need you.
Sure. Sure.
So it gets hard to book an area.
Maybe you should just, maybe if you put aside, maybe being a comedian and a booker mm-hmm. is conflicting. And it's actually stifling both of your avenues.
You're 100% right.
It's stifling you as a comic because you're getting banned from rooms.
Right.
And it's stopping you from booking rooms because you don't want to be banned.
That's right.
So I think it's time for you to maybe choose here.
Give up on the comedy.
What's it going to be? Come on. We got 45 minutes left, Steve. Time to decide.
Well, here's the reality of it is comedy, performing is what I love.
Yeah.
And booking is what can help me pay my bills.
Okay.
It's tough. But even that, I'll be honest with you. We've talked about this before. If everybody that owes me money, paid me money, I'd be doing great. Yeah. But I've got clubs. My Angola club owes me $1,000. Bay City owes me $900 right now. You know how long it takes for them to owe me $900?
Yeah.
They paid me. They owed me. I sent them a bill for $700, and they paid me at $100. I'm like, going, okay, that's not even close.
So you're telling me the room over the bowling alley in Bay City, a town that largely lives off antique sales,
sure,
and a mariachi band.
Yeah.
They're not making the bank to pay you.
They're not. And Finley, when he went under, he owed me more than $5,000 when he went over.
That guy was a delight.
He didn't pay me for 4 months in Finley at all.
Did I ever tell you the story of that guy?
And I booked you in there, did I not?
That guy was terrific. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone. I mean, I know what your story is. I don't know that anyone cares.
I'll tell Steve off mic about that guy.
Yeah,
just the guy. He thought he had the power in Finley.
Oh yeah, he's crazy.
Anyway, over a town of 20,000 people.
All right. So, Steve, I think we beat up on Steve and his comedy empire already.
It's an inside comedy thing.
We're not
beating up on you.
And I have no problem talking about it, because because you ask a question, and that's a question that is a rightfully asked question.
Maybe you should send anyone who ever asked
tell every
you a question
comic to listen to this
to
show.
Listen to the show. Go listen to Corey and Joel. I explained it all on that.
Right. And I'd like to, for people like you guys, like I said, I would offer this. You got to understand, the thing I want you to understand, too, as far as why certain people might get booked over other people also, if somebody is willing to do the more distant rooms, then I have to reward them with a better room or a closer room. You have to. You can't just give people just the good rooms. Then that's all everybody would ever do, and they wouldn't ever do the other rooms.
Well,
I mean, you got to.
But I also feel like the money is a deterrent to do some of these.
I understand completely
because you can't you can't go to Wisconsin for the money.
If you're driving 6 hours to a gig, the money's got to be a little better than it is.
Well, and I don't hold it against anybody. But you know what's funny is, honestly, I don't get any less comics if I book the room for $150 than I do for $100.
Well, that's the problem. But I won't answer the ad for $100 usually.
Right, right.
You sent out a bunch of stuff today, and I looked at it, and I went, I don't think I can do that for the money.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I looked at some of those.
Yeah,
and
we're
went,
pricing ourselves out of some stuff, rightfully so.
Right.
We don't want to dump on you. I think the economics of minor league comedy have been explained.
Yeah.
Well, plus you gotta sell merchandise. Really, that's the. I told you that before a million times.
Yeah.
That's. I did my room in Belleville, Michigan. It's a new once a month gig, right?
Yeah.
I did it their opening night, and they had 55 people there. I sold $245 in T-shirts and thongs.
Wow. Okay. Well,
that's
why I
more than I made for the gig.
The new line of Corey Hall dildos.
Oh, those should be good.
Each one has my face on the end.
Is it your bald head on top
yes,
of it? Yeah.
So that you can
just a little bit of hair up there. Yeah.
I put my headshot right on the end of the tip of the dildo.
Get your buzz on.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And they can get fucked by Corey Hall all night.
Well, look at
it's not funny.
Even PJ, look at him.
Freaking unfunny.
Once PJ started doing his own T-shirts, he's making a lot more money. You know?
Okay.
And it's just in this world. You know, currently, with gas prices and stuff like that, those are things you got to do.
Well,
but also give me credit for a second, though. Although the money may not be as good in certain places, I do try to get meals if I can and drinks comp for the comics, which instead of paying, making $150 and paying $70 for your bar tab, you can get drunk and eat a meal.
And you get hotel rooms that are terrific, that are top of the line.
All right.
like that one movie where they were trying to kill Kate Beckinsale and Luke Wilson.
For my new Marine City room, we just got the Hampton Inn for that just today.
Oh, did you really?
That's a nice room.
Oh, holy shit, they got like an exercise room and everything.
They got
all right, everybody. It's break
well,
time.
That's fine because we're not gonna get into bashing on Paul's Motel in Bay City, which is maybe the biggest piece of Iraqi bullshit you'll ever see in your entire life.
You'd rather stay in Beirut.
You would. I would rather sleep in attack. My car than that place. But right. I stayed at that place I think once or maybe twice.
Yeah.
And then, but I was talking to the guy that I was working with last time, and he was like, "Holy shit, that hotel!"
It's like, not like you know. I don't warn you on there. You know.
When we come back, we'll allow Steve the opportunity to show his talent.
Which is what?
And we'll riff on some whatever hot topics.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Hot topics like The View.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our vagins.
Hot
It'll be
topics.
Wonderful.
All right. We can take a break. We'll play Morris's The Hives. We didn't really promo. This is from the Black and White album. It's their new record. And we'll be back with more show right after this on the Corey and Joel Radio Show with Steve Sagan.
Oh, yes.
All right, we're back. It's Corey and Joel, people. Mm-hmm. How are you? And Steve.
Steve took a really enormous pee.
I did. Well, and not just a second ago, but when
I got
first
here.
Got here. Yeah.
And we really should have done the pee mic.
Well.
We haven't done the pee mic in a long time.
Well, the pee mic was a bit that we did that people either alternately hated or thought was hilarious.
A highly controversial
thing. It was a highly controversial thing. That was back when we really cared about podcasters and what they thought of us.
That would have been a long segment because that was a long
We did the pee mic. But we did a competition. We wanted to see who could have the longer, more sustained pee.
Oh, really?
So we sat here and we chugged water.
Weren't we shotgunning beers? I thought we were doing beers.
We might have. I remember we were drinking something.
It was beer and water.
We hardcore drinking, and then whoever had to go first, and it would go. And
beer would work for me. After,
after
the first time I pee, the second pee would be the long. It'd be like forever because that's just
coffee.
Coffee? No, coffee makes me take a shit.
See, coffee makes me like, and I watch movies in my day job.
Right.
And now they're
tough job.
Now they're giving you coffee at the screenings.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're usually, it's like a morning screening. You know, they have like an 11 and a 1 o'clock.
Now I wondered about. Now, is it harder? Serious question. Is it harder to really get into a movie in the morning than it is? Like, because normally most people watch movies at night.
Yeah.
And you get a different mindset, I think, at night than in the
morning. For me, no, because at night I got to deal with every, the night ones are open to the public.
Right, right.
And so I got to deal with every jamoke and,
and
granny and
cell phone going off.
I got to deal with Pook and Ray Ray.
Somebody
and
yelling at the screen and 80
Shanice.
People brought 90 kids.
I swear to God, people can't learn with the goddamn cell phones.
That's true.
Although one time I did lose it at Spider-Man 2, some kid was like playing with his cell phone. And I went.
Playing games?
And I yelled, I'm like, lady, I will kill your child if you don't get this. I was like, I will kick that kid down the street if you don't turn off that cell phone.
I will feed that kid some Aqua Dots if you don't.
Yeah, that kid.
Oh, yeah, Aqua Dots. Did you hear about
those? I don't even know what those are. So I read the story, but I don't even know what they do.
This is a kid's art thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're kind of like.
They're like little beads, but they bond with water to create like some.
You make little. They're like
you make like a Play-Doh with them, or is it more?
It's
of
more
a...
like you create a you create a picture with them, and then
so you draw with them. You draw on paper.
You lay them out.
You
can lay
them
out like on a grill. You make like a seahorse.
Okay.
You know, like how you would make a macaroni picture when you were a kid, but it would be like that.
They
but
stick
with
to
beads.
The paper
when you put the water on it. Okay. It does. It creates a bond.
And they get solid.
Yeah, and a kid swallowed one. And
They're they're not only toxic. But the chemical compounds are very similar to Rohypnol.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The date rape drug.
Well, that's good.
Isn't that
amazing?
Where's
the Aqua Dots?
Right.
Steve, would you stop and pick some up?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Like, I'm thinking pedophiles probably have it already, and they're like, going, thank God, finally a break.
I mean, imagine if that guy who tried to bring Arnold downstairs from the bike shop had Aqua Dots.
God, can you explain what no one knows what you're talking about?
See, everybody should
Steve
know that.
Steve got that bit.
That's the classic, Different Strokes episode.
It was Gordon Jump.
And it was
WKRP.
That one, and then there was the Nancy Reagan just saying the drugs.
On a very special Different Strokes.
On a very special Family Guy.
Remember he showed them like a cartoon of like Mickey Mouse with a boner?
Yeah, I think I did see that.
What's going on with Mickey? it was a great episode.
God. My lord.
Mr. D! And then the little redheaded kid came in and tossed salads. It was wonderful episode.
I don't remember that part of it. That was
Mr. D!
All right.
I just rimmed a bike's repairman. Hey, Mr. D. Why does my tongue taste funny?
I just snorted, you bastards. Okay. You made me snort.
Oh, my.
So anyway, should we
Dudley.
Get to,
that was his friend.
Dudley was his name.
Dudley
right.
and
you're
Arnold
right.
went down to the bike shop and... old Mr. Touchy McPhailpants tried to get a little bit of sweet chocolate dot action on himself. Yeah, Aqua Dots, Rohypnol. If you want to rape a girl, just go out there and get yourself some Aqua Dots.
What else is in them that's toxic, though? There's something toxic in them as
what
well?
What happens is the coating on the dots, whatever it is that makes them stick or adhere, when it's swallowed, when it starts to break down in your system, has the exact same effect as the chemicals in Rohypnol, which is... something bitrate or whatever,
too much of it's like toxic and fatal.
Just eat too much is toxic, but if you just have like one little dot,
you're gonna get a little high.
You can't remember what you did and you pass out just like.
Well, I'm sure the Juggalos will start doing Aqua Dots and I'll indulge myself.
These have gotten the massive recall, right?
Yeah,
what I'm thinking absolutely. Is if you go to like a Toys R Us in a janky part of town,
because
if you go out to the Sticks or like downtown or something,
no, you can't.
You'll find a one toy store.
Well, I think if you went to like a dollar store or someplace, a Big Lots, that was blowing out stuff like that.
A buddy of mine found.
Go to the Northland.
He went to a Toys R Us in Detroit. It was like one of those shady ones, And he got that wrestling doll, the wrestler that just killed himself.
Chris Benoit.
Sure. Found some Chris Benoit dolls that they hadn't pulled off the shelf yet.
They didn't pull those. You know, actually, corporate, they didn't decide to pull those.
Right.
I think they stopped manufacturing them.
Okay.
But the ones that were on the shelf were never recalled. Well, if a store had them, they could still sell them.
Really? Because whatever it was like he bought a whole bunch of them, and he's like giving them out for presents. Like, and there's something on it. It has something like wife choking action or something. It really had something like that on it. It's like,
what was this? The Crippler.
The Crippler Crossface.
Yeah. There's
choke
something.
Choke out action.
It's something like that, and you're like going, oh, my God. How would they put that on? You just never know, but.
Wrestling's no shortage of bad taste in that world. But
now was he in anybody's death pool?
No,
we do always take a wrestler.
Yeah, usually we'll take a wrestler, but usually somebody who's really fucked up and out of it.
That's a good choice because there's a lot of them that died.
I know, and I know the guys who were out of it, and he wasn't. But that's why it was so shocking with him.
Right.
He wasn't a guy that was known to have problems.
Right.
So
There's 131 Chris Benoit items available on eBay right now.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, how much are they selling for the doll?
They're not going for that much because these were mass market items.
Yeah,
sure.
There is the Deluxe Aggression Chris Benoit figure.
That's it. Deluxe Aggression.
I'd say he had Deluxe Aggression on that night.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
All right. Speaking of TV, we were talking about different tricks. Can we get into that?
Hard Knocks: The Chris Benoit Stories.
Yeah, that's a DVD. Ooh. I actually have that. That was they did a biography of him and. You know, a couple years before he did that.
I bet they're going to add about 10 minutes to that.
I think they just pulled it, and you'll never see it again. But anyway, speaking of TV, one of Corey and I, we have a new favorite show around the Corey and Joel Radio Parts.
Yes, sir.
And it's a reality show, and we like reality shows, or I do. I'm probably more into it than Corey is usually. But
I'm selective about them.
You like
Joel
Amazing
watches
Race.
More than I do, yeah.
I like Survivor. Corey
Which show is it? I like Survivor.
Our new favorite show is Kid Nation.
Okay.
Which I think we've talked about that briefly on the show, but the other night they had a great episode where the kids are so bored. They're living in this, it's an old Western town.
Sure.
Which is basically, I looked it up, it's an old movie set that you can rent if you want to shoot a movie there. But they move these kids in and they're like, you have to, you know, the storyline is they have to bring this town back because it died in the 1800s.
Create their own society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly there was a failed settlement
there. No adults around and whatever, so... Mm-hmm. They've got to do their own thing. Well,
except for 60,000 cameramen.
Exactly. And producers and people. So the kids were bored, and they said, there's nothing to do. So they decided they were going to do a talent show. And a 12-year-old girl on the show decided that she wanted to do stand-up comedy.
Oh.
That was going to be her talent in the talent show.
I was hoping you were going to say stripper. I was like,
That would be your new favorite show. Then. Although we actually made the jokes about you because we thought... In about 4 years, this girl could be jumping on the Steve Sabo comedy booking.
Sure, why not?
She lives in Indiana.
You want to go to Elkhart? You want to go to Elkhart, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I can
do that.
That's marketable. Come on.
So she's 12, and we thought that maybe she would be someone that could be riding in your car.
Say, you want to see Sturgis, Michigan by moonlight?
I need an opener. I'm telling you.
Was she funny though?
Well, we're gonna play it for you. But
by the way, I got a girl that could work for you.
Yeah.
Just met a new female talent that will.
But anyway, so this girl decided. But it was funny because this girl was like the daughter of a preacher. If you watch the show, and she's very uptight, and you wouldn't think she'd be kind of the last kid on that show would think would want
to
do stand up. So she put together a stand up act, and this is you're going to hear this right now.
All
right. From Kid Nation,
the
other night.
The one and only Olivia.
Olivia's her name.
Doing her comedy act.
Olivia.
Oh, jeez, I was pretty scared.
So that's her giving her a little. She's 12.
Right.
It's Olivia.
All right, now being a comedian is harder than it looks.
Olivia, speak up.
She's going to heckle
right out of the gate.
Being a comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
She's killing.
Now, while we're talking about smiling, Andre over here is smiling all the time. If you told the guy to go jump off a cliff, he'd be smiling.
She's working the room. She's kind of riffing.
Yeah,
she's not that bad. My own district, we're a little crazy, I'll give you that. Greg and Blaine, I could invent 3 million jokes about them, but look at them. They are the jokes.
Oh, applause, Greg. Yeah, standing up.
I really admire Olivia for getting up there and doing that. It's really brave of her, and it was really funny, too. Yeah,
thank you. You've been a great audience.
There it is.
Wow, so that's her whole set?
Well, I'm sure she did more that laid there, but the producers So they punched it up and made it sound good.
They edited out the poop jokes.
Well, didn't she rip it on Anjay for smiling?
She did that. Oh. Were you fucking staring off into space?
No, he's like a Pakistani kid.
Or is this Anjay?
Or Indian.
Yeah, he's an Indian or a Paki. Yeah. But, you know,
she had a line about Anjay disappearing at night unless he smiled, and I think
that was not on the show. It was not on Kid Nation, but it was just funny because this girl
was
like...
Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes.
Yeah. But I'm like, hey, that could be Paula Poundstone's act. I mean, is that really any different?
Her delivery is similar to Dave Landau.
You know what I mean? But, like, you know, it's funny because a girl tried it, which is like...
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Don't think of 12-year-old girls as being funny at all.
No, not really.
You know
really.
What I mean? And then, like, you know, and then for it to be... Not that it was good in any way, but it was just like...
Joel,
who do you look up to as a 12-year-old girl? Because, I mean, as a guy... Like, I remember being a kid, and I liked Johnny Carson, and I
sure,
liked,
Eddie
you know,
Murphy.
Oh, whoever, yeah. And
science has proven that girls aren't funny.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Science fact.
Living in the house... If you're living in a preacher's home and that's your dad,
sure.
What comedy are you watching to get inspired to think that you could ever do stand-up comedy?
Apparently Seinfeld.
Yeah, I don't know.
She was doing a very... Can you believe Anjay over here with the smiles?
What's the deal with Anjay? He's always smiling.
Hey, babe. Hey. Let me tell you.
Babe.
I think she's a fan of The Tonight Show. And then the Anjay smiled a lot. And then you got over there. And they kept, you see this in the paper about Blaine and Greg. Did you see Blaine and Greg in the paper today?
What's the deal with these Jews?
I like living in Bonanza City. It's great. I don't have a car, but I have a horse and a cart here. I've got 50 of them in a garage.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Leno. Corey's real jealous that I do a good Leno.
No, I just, you decided that we what happens is sometimes we take possession of a character.
Okay. You choose. Well, that's they did that on SNL. One person gets to be president.
So corny,
some person
gets that was one of our earliest
There's
shows.
There's a couple of guys. We can both do Niels, our super fan from Germany.
Yeah. I do a much
guy.
Better Niels.
I met Niels.
I do a better Niels.
We had an early fight about both doing the same voice.
We didn't have a fight.
Do you guys still talk to the guy after he flew in that one time? And you guys,
Well, you know, Steve, I listen to the show. I actually am now creating a Steve Sable wing of the Corey and Joel library in Stuttgart.
I think we gave him Steve's CD. We had a bunch of comic CDs that had been in here, and we gave him a whole stack of CDs from Steve Brewer and Sal, probably you and Burchard. And
I actually created a logarithm to chart Steve Sable's dick joke to titty joke ratio, and it is 1.275 to 12 to 4.
That's good.
In favor of titties.
That's like a quarterback
on
ratio.
The tram. I listen to this every day.
Well,
I came up
with the good lines for Niels, like the tram. That was mine.
Right.
I wrote it. And
oh,
then
please,
it.
Piss off.
I did, you fucker. But anyway,
first of all, you got the valve line off last week, and I had already
started. I did.
Started,
well, yeah, I know, but I tagged
started
it.
The bit
but I tagged
him
it.
Playing with circuit boards as a child, and you thought you were so funny with valves.
Oh, I almost hit you right in the cup.
That's fine. You know what? Hey, you just threw a snicker at me. And what happens then? I enjoy a delicious snicker.
Yeah, you'd eat the whole bag.
Not going anywhere for a while.
How bad was B-movie? Back to bad comedy.
Did you see B-movie?
Oh, you saw that movie?
No.
Oh. I didn't see it.
Well, of course you did.
I didn't have to do it.
Really? You didn't do that one?
He reviewed Fred Claus last week, so we don't even have to go further
into
that.
How was that? Because it was rated PG, and that's not Vince Vaughn's strong point.
Have you ever, peed blood?
Strangely, I have.
It's only slightly worse than that.
It was the director of Wedding Crashers as well, and he made
David Dobkin.
Yeah, so anyway,
awful.
He said that was awful, but anyway,
Wedding Crashers is a movie that was better the second time I saw it.
Mm-hmm. I never saw it, so
I didn't like it the first time I saw it. Okay. The second time I was like, okay, kind of like Napoleon Dynamite, which I really didn't like.
No,
either.
You didn't like that either.
Uh-uh.
Me neither.
Did you see Superbad? I know that's out.
I didn't
on
see
DVD
it yet.
No, yeah. Mm. Is it out on DVD now, Superbad? It just came out.
Did it just come out, or is it
coming
out?
I think Steve would like that movie. If you didn't see Superbad, anyone listening, definitely worth a look.
Yeah. Superbad is tremendous.
Yeah, very
and
fun.
I want to put a plug in here for another movie starring Michael Cera, who was George Michael
on
Arrested Development. It was in Superbad.
Right.
A movie is coming out soon called Juno.
Okay.
That he's in, and it's terrific. It's a really, really funny little indie comedy. He knocks up his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Ellen Page is the girl. It's terrific. Right. She's the star, and it's really good, but it's like a counter to Knocked Up.
Well, there's another
it's
one,
kind
though.
Of like a kid, it's like a high school version of Knocked Up, but it's really good.
There's another movie coming out called about two potheads or something like that. That's the Sugarland Express or something like that. One of the guys from from Knocked Up and Superbad. That guy, the main guy from Knocked Up, the fatter guy, the guy that knocked the girl up.
Oh, okay, Noah Hill or Jonah Hill. What is his name? Is
it Jonah Hill, not him. The main, the lead.
Michael Cera?
The guy from Knocked Up.
From Knocked Up, the lead from Knocked Up.
Oh, Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, yeah.
Yeah, he and the guy that played the Goblin in Spider-Man is, they're in some movie.
Well, they were together on
Freaks and Geeks. Pineapple Express. That's what it is, Pineapple Express. You don't know about that one?
Pineapple Express. I think I've seen something on that, yeah.
That is coming out next year. Yeah.
Now, what do you think about Walk Hard? Have you seen that? I have not seen that yet,
but I'm looking forward to it.
That looked bad to me. The trailer looked stupid to me.
I think the trailer looked dumb.
Honestly, enough, Amy agreed with you that
the trailer looked dumb. It looked like Airplane or something instead of...
But I do think it's going to be... The cast is great. I think it's going to be one of those things. It's either going to be a really funny parody or it's going to be really, really awful.
Is John C. Reilly in a fake biopic about a Johnny Cash-style singer.
It's based on Johnny Cash, but I think they're going to put in a bunch of elements of other movie
rock and roll
that you've seen. And it just, I don't know. I'm just not, I don't know. It sounds like, it seems like a sketch that's just going on for too long. I don't know.
It could be. I mean,
I haven't seen it, Bobby.
I love John C. Reilly, so I'll watch him pee up a rope.
No, if Will Ferrell was in it, then I think that would be, you know, because he does those type of movies really
well. But I'm tired of seeing Will Ferrell, so John C. Reilly give me a little something different. Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
A little shake and bake. He's the bake.
Speaking of Will Ferrell, he's got a movie where he plays a white basketball player in the 70s.
That's true.
Coming out next. And that he shot that in Flint.
They filmed part of that in Detroit. Yeah. They were looking for extras for that, and I almost signed up for it.
Detroit and Flint, they shot that.
Yeah. Because I thought it'd be cool to have a credit with Will Ferrell, and I realized what I really put in my credits.
Semi-pro.
Yeah, I know. I just did. Have I talked about this on the show? I don't know if I have, but I just did some commercials for ABC Warehouse, which you probably know.
Sure.
Being from Detroit. And, you know, I got to meet the owner, Gordy, and everyone's all impressed. But, like, that's why I recommend you do extra work, because inevitably you end up standing next to the guy for 3 minutes or whatever.
Sure.
And then everyone goes, so, you met this guy, and it's real impressive to people. Like, nothing that I've ever done professionally has ever gotten people more excited than being an extra in this ABC Warehouse commercial.
Hmm.
Like, we were on CBS Radio for a weekend, and...
Right, right.
Some people listen, some people didn't. I do this show, most people don't listen. I do comedy gigs, no one really seems to give a fuck. But God damn it, I was in the background shopping for a fucking washing machine while the owner of ABC Warehouse was on camera, and it's the biggest deal ever.
Speaking of, while we're doing plugs.
So I recommend that you do something just for the story.
I did a carpet commercial 13 years ago in Tampa, Florida. And Tampa's a huge area. And everybody... that I bumped into recognized me from that commercial. It was one of those cheesy, terrible commercials.
When you were on, like, you had lines and stuff?
It was like, I was the lead. I was playing a cheesy, you know, car salesman who's selling carpet and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was you're that carpet guy. I'm like, oh, God. It was horrible. It was miserable.
But you know what? It is recognition, though. That's the thing. I mean, it's like, you know, you do all these things in comedy and on the down low kind of stuff.
Right.
And no one could give a fuck.
That's true.
Speaking of this, I forgot to do this. I never plugged it while we're doing plugs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A couple weeks back, I did a thing for Borders. I did an interview with Jason Schwartzman and Wes Anderson.
Oh, no kidding.
For Darjeeling Limited at the Ann Arbor Borders. Now, and it's on their website. It's on bordersmedia.com, live at the O1.
Okay.
And you can look at that. And we did like a little interview, like a half-hour interview.
You were in it?
Yeah, I interviewed them.
He was the moderator.
Live
at the.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I put that up on MySpace, and I've had more hits from people I haven't heard from.
Yeah.
Right.
I've gotten, like, a ton of emails, and everybody saw that, apparently.
Okay.
But I never mentioned it on the show.
How was that movie, by the way?
I'll put it on the forum if you guys want to check that out. But that's something you're talking about. Yeah, I could do 500 comedy gigs.
Yeah.
And no one will ever come. If I put that up, they all go, oh, my God, you were in the same room with Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, it's weird. Celebrity gets people interested.
But that
reason.
Movie, was that any good? Because I saw...
I didn't see it.
I saw that little clip thing that at the beginning, you know, the one that they...
Yeah.
The, with Natalie Portman being naked. And that was the most disappointing thing I've ever freaking seen.
The short?
Yeah, because it's Skeletor, and you see part of her ass. That's it. I saw more rib than I saw...
He was excited about that. I have to say... To be fair, you called me about how hot the Natalie Portman. You got.
And she,
I saw Natalie Portman naked.
I think she's happy. You don't see anything. Yeah. You see her standing to the side, so you see like a side view, and you see kind of the crack of her ass. That's really all you see.
I'll tell you what. Watch the movie Closer.
Oh yeah,
she does an extended like strip number where she's in a thong that looks great. Yeah.
And supposedly she had a nude scene in that was cut and miraculously disappeared.
And by the way, Mike Nichols will burn in hell for that.
Oh, I know.
The director of Closer.
Oh,
somewhere there's full frontal Portman. Mm-hmm. And she looks great in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I didn't see that. I don't even.
I liked Darjeeling Limited. It was good, but I know why people don't like Wes Anderson.
Yeah, no, I never really liked Rushmore. Bottle Rocket was okay. I mean, it was decent, but
he's not going to win any more fans than he has now.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of agree with that because I liked Bottle Rocket.
Right.
Rushmore, I saw and was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And everything after that, I just skipped.
Yeah,
and,
but even if it, that one, the Life Aquatic was god awful. You know,
that was a downturn for him.
And when you say even Darjeeling, why would you name it something that people can't even pronounce?
Well,
it's not a good movie.
It's an indie movie.
He wants to run off. Like, there are people who are, and I think in general, there are people who will just say, I'm going to name it this, so it's not going to be a hit. Because they don't want, you know what I mean? If some reason they built interest to that and people went and they were disappointed, I think they would feel like that was, you know
no,
what I mean?
They want cult status.
But I'm saying you market things to the audience you're putting it for. If he wanted to make a mainstream hit, they probably would have changed the name of it. And made it something else, but ultimately, if
they would have watered it down, and it would have sucked.
But I'm saying, if people go see the movie, even if it's the same movie, and they market it differently, and they market it at a mass audience, and they go and see it, they're probably not going to like it. So ultimately, you're just going to disappoint a lot of people.
Which is just like my comedy, and that's why I don't play Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and do tired dick jokes that I've been doing for 10 years.
That room has not been secured yet, so we don't know.
But I think that's
by
part
your
of
your logic. Everything would be watered down.
No, but I'm saying that's why he's the name, and he's using a name that is sort of he's alienating a certain segment of the population right from the get go.
Sure,
but that's it's targeted at it's narrowly marketed.
Well, why wouldn't you want to make money?
I mean, well, I'll go the other way. The B movie is guaranteeing I don't want to see it.
Well, that's true. But
you make
not,
something
you know,
too mainstream. I could give a flying fuck.
Yeah, but I don't want to see it because it's an animated movie about bees that
it's
the commercial looks stupid. Yeah. It doesn't look funny at all. Hi. Ooh, I'm a bee that talks to people. I work at a honey factory, and they're stealing our honey. I don't even know.
I agree with that, but Corey,
why
I think
taking our honey?
What you're missing, though, is
Winnie
that, you know,
that
the masses outweigh, you know, when it comes to dollars and cents.
Not for a movie with a
more
budget.
People make are going to, you know, I'm saying if they had marketed Darjee. So why are you upset that I'm saying this? Corey's like, Corey Wes Anderson, I don't know. He must have suckled his nuts on the playground as a kid. Because he defends this guy. Like, you can't criticize him in any way, shape, or form with you.
No,
because you get all defensive. And I'm not even talking about the movie because I didn't see it and I don't want to see it. And I'll never see it. So I'm not going to actually pick on the movie itself. But I'm saying about why does something have like a weird title, and I'm trying to explain to Steve why that is.
Because the budget on the Darjeeling Limited is not a $100 million budget.
Okay.
They probably made the thing for 22
million?
Went to, yeah, and they went to India, so that might have made it a little bit more expensive than those other
I'm just saying, that's a lot of money.
To us, $22 million is more money than I'll ever know.
Yes.
But for a Hollywood movie, it's not that much. Those guys aren't working for big budgets. You know, Adrian Brody and Owen Wilson aren't taking big cuts.
Yeah, to work with
and
him.
A movie like that will do well on DVD. Its theatrical run is going to be okay.
Okay.
There's different markets in Hollywood, just like there's different markets in comedy.
Sure,
there's
there are.
A rooms in comedy, and then there's Steve's rooms.
Oh, see,
I'm making with the jokes
again.
I don't have.
I'm begging him for work, Joel, and then I go.
I hear you. Oh, I know that. I mean,
you go. Why would he name it Darjeeling?
Well, he said it, not me.
I said that. It's a
first of all, I know.
I'm giving
the Life Aquatic with Steve Zazu was a dumb name.
Yes, exactly.
That name was overlong and complicated.
But I feel that.
But I know it involves brown people, so you won't watch it. So
what?
I'm racist.
Yeah. No, me. I think that was directed.
Joel
at me.
Will be like, I can smell the curry powder. Just look at it.
Yeah, you've never said a goddamn racist thing in your life, please. Stupid ass.
Actually, what was great about that interview was that I ended up getting in a fight with this like extraordinarily hot redhead co-head.
Yeah.
This 21-year-old girl was.
Is
like,
it on the video? Can we see that? Or
no, but like she was in waiting to get an autograph from them, and I was like hanging around.
Yeah.
And she's like talking about what a racist Wes Anderson is because he's exploiting the people of India for a comedy.
Like she wants an autograph, but
I know.
It was such a
Ann Arbor like hardcore. Yeah. I read a fucking Camille Paglia book, and now look at me, you know.
Well, you know how those people are at that club if you play there.
Oh
And I had to talk her down from a ledge, and I'm like, you know what? He's not the problem. I don't think a guy making an indie movie, you know, is your problem. Find another target.
You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this, but I will alienate some people when I say this. But whatever happened to minding your own business? Yeah, all these seriously, you get all the Ann Arbor people, you know, oh, it's meat is murder, KFC right. is
yeah,
you know,
people who
got to
protest everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's like shut the hell up and deal with your own life. That's right. You know,
there's good times to protest. It was like those people that came on Bill Maher's show and were yelling about the 9/11 conspiracy when it wasn't what the show was about at all.
Right.
I think the problem is that people, like if somebody decided, like something about KFC or whatever.
Sure.
If you make a moral judgment, say, I don't want to eat KFC, therefore I'm going to hurt the business of KFC and hopefully they'll change their ways. I mean, that's the idea, right? But if that's enough, then go ahead and do it. But, you know, but it's now taken on like nobody can eat KFC because they have a moral objection to it.
Right. Well, here my thing is, if you don't want to eat KFC, don't eat KFC. Yeah. They're not marketing to you. They want... But I don't stand outside a soy plant with holding signs going,
I'll tell you what, though.
They're killing beans.
I will invite protesters. If you want to protest the Corey and Joel Radio Show, next time we do a live event.
Well, should announce our live event because we're not going to have very long to announce this.
Come out there and wave your
Joel is
a fat prick.
Is this official?
Corey's a racist asshole. Because
we haven't said anything about it on the show. Should we announce this now?
Because
it's only 2 weeks away from now. Why don't we announce it?
Is it only 2 weeks away?
Well, from when people are hearing this, yes.
Oh.
It's November 29th at Club Bart in Ferndale. So,
come
on out. We're securing a lineup of comedians and
comedians will include.
Actually, we don't know. Well, I don't know.
Adam Sokol.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I'm like, there's really no point in building
Matt
this up,
McClary.
We don't know. We don't even really know who's appearing, but it'll be. We'll announce that.
Are booked.
We'll have it on the
what's
website.
What's the point of the live event there?
Just to do it. Something fun to do. Bart, it's good for Bart, you know, who owns the club, because he likes us to do that, and it gives his club some attention, and kind of guarantees a decent crowd, at least, for that. I mean, it's not, you know.
Flash some titties.
Yeah, if you want to come out November 29th, 10 o'clock, we'll be over at Club Bart doing a live event with Corey and I and some stand-up and some other stuff. We're trying to secure some guests, and I don't know.
I'll be in Iowa or something.
Really selling the bit.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know who it's going to be. But it'll be on the website. It'll be on the forum.
We're going to do a show.
It'll be on the mailing list. Well, we've kind of.
It's going to be great.
On this. Well, we started planning it like a long time ago, and now it's getting closer, and we're like, holy shit, we haven't done enough work on it yet. So I'm going to work on the poster next week.
Yeah, remember we worked on the roast
forever,
months,
and it was and a friggin' disaster. Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, you came to the roast. Roast was fun for doing it, but it wasn't.
Russ Brown was great in the roast.
Well, that means nothing.
He was great. Like I'm literally crossing off jokes on my list as
about,
Russ goes on for 20 minutes on every possible
was
subject
all about,
I could do.
It was all about, I don't know what the roast was a disaster. The problem with that one was that it's as far as
and
an audience goes.
This asshole.
The audience was, you know, a lot of the guys did jokes about people who weren't in the room.
Right.
A lot of people didn't know who were the targets of the jokes. And
well, part of that problem, too, was there were people that were supposed to be there that weren't
there.
Yeah, there
were people that were supposed to be there that weren't there, and so it was a mess.
And you write 10 minutes of jokes on a guy who doesn't show.
Yeah, so then people were like, I'm still going to do the jokes on the people that aren't here, and then it was just kind of bad, and then people repeated their jokes, and it was just...
Ultimately,
people were,
roasts don't work very
well. But people begged us for that. People were dying to hear that. Like, it was going to be the greatest thing ever, and...
Roasts, if they're done well, are great. Like, the ones when, you know, on Comedy Central, when they really rip on people.
But that's because
fantastic.
Everybody knows who those people are. They're all famous.
Right,
enough.
Nationally.
And
yeah.
People, like, know us, but they're not fans of the show, and so they don't get some of the jokes.
Sure.
And then people who are fans of the show who don't know the comedy scene didn't understand jokes about people that weren't there.
Right.
We tried to only use comedians that had been on the show before. Of course, some of those didn't show up, so we had to use other people that hadn't been on the show, so our audience is
listening.
We
had to put on Chill.
We had to put on people. Well, it wasn't Chill, but like, remember we had, you know, I don't want to. It was a long.
Yay.
It was a long fakakta thing. Thankfully, you really only get roasted once in your professional careers.
Is that true?
And hopefully, well, for
we
us.
Could do, well, if they do it again. Remember
when
they,
we're famous, they can do it, and it'll make a lot more sense
remember
to
they did Chevy Chase a couple times, and like the last one was a disaster. I already got roasted. And it was all guys who didn't know Chevy Chase from Adam.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do on the Comedy Central things, though. Yeah. They usually don't know any of the people.
Well, they'll have some people who know, and then some people who are just funny who don't know them.
Right, right.
You know, for us, it was sort of like, we tried to book funny people, but yet there were people, and then people got their feelings hurt because they weren't on it, but meanwhile, they won't do, you know, we'll do the show, and it's funny, you know, we talk about booking comedy. We try to book people to come in here, and you just never hear more excuses about what they've got to do that day, and it's just.
Because they don't get paid, and if you don't get paid,
it can be difficult to get people in here.
I'm going to give you a present, Steve, right now.
Steve is going to get paid right now.
But you are going to get an official Darth Vader candy head.
That's right.
Wow. There you go.
There's no candy in the head.
No, there is candy in the head.
There is?
There's a little rubber band, and if you remove that, you can open it up and eat the candy.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you guys get this at?
I got that at Target in their post-Halloween clearance.
No kidding.
And they were expensive, too. You're supposed to give those out. They give you a bag of like 30 of them.
Yeah.
But they were like, it was $8 for the bag, but it was 90% off being post-Halloween.
You know what's a good idea? Like, if you go to those Big Boy and McDonald's and that kind of stuff,
yeah.
They give you those the dollar things, you get like whatever
coupons,
you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those, you get a free hamburger, fries, whatever, but they only cost 10 cents.
Oh, really?
So when you buy them, you get 10 for a dollar.
Okay.
Oh. So, and you don't have to be a kid to use them. It doesn't say you have to be a kid. So for 10 cents, you can get a burger, fries, and a drink. Oh. So it'll be, you
save
know,
saying, save
that's
money.
A good angle.
Save money on the road as a comedian, then you can go to McDonald's.
I saw it. I was like going, I'm going to buy a bunch of these things.
And what you can do is get chicken McNuggets with hot mustard when you tour with
Jordan. Oh, yeah. That'll
they
be
do
great.
Them for, they do them for stocking stuffers at the at the end. Now, what is a bone and a...
It's a bone, a skull.
Two bones. No, it's two bones and two pumpkins.
And there's,
and
a,
then
skull,
there's a skull. Yeah, there's a little black skull.
It's the Halloween theme that the Empire
Yeah, those are
known
sort
for.
Of like runts. Do you ever have runts?
Oh, yeah,
little
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They kind of taste
yeah.
like those. It's, the candy's That's not cool. bad. I thought the candy was going to be
tchotchke.
Awful, but... It's a little
That's
Darth cool. Vader head for you, and
That's
you don't
awesome.
Even need the rubber band.
You can put it on your dashboard.
Yeah, you really don't need it.
You know, I think it was just to keep them together in the bag.
I might glue it on my dashboard.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I might add one to my Guitar Hero controller.
Oh,
see, that's the new Guitar Hero controller. Yeah, do you want to do Celebrity Guitar Hero Challenge if you have a minute?
Oh God, I'm terrible at Guitar Hero.
Are you? You want to try? Okay, well, we could try it if you want. If you haven't played the new one, it's got a lot of.
How much show do we have left?
We can start. We got about 15 minutes left or so. But we can do Celebrity Guitar Hero Challenge for a bonus feature if you want.
I'll skip the guitar challenge thing.
Really?
I'm not good at it.
But you
no,
want to
terrible.
Play Poison? There's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot.
No, the only one I played, the only one I was able to do well was I did on Guitar Hero 1, the first one, or
yeah.
maybe the second one. Whatever one had Round and Round.
Yeah, I think that was the second one.
I was able to get that one down pretty good, but that was it. You know, that's it. I'm just like... It's too much pressure for me because it's like here it comes I gotta push this and stroke.
Well, you need to practice that game because Corey hates Guitar Hero 2 kind of, but yeah. if you actually practiced it, you'd get. A
I
lot
don't
better.
Hate it, but I'm not.
Well, it's hard to play it in a public setting
yeah.
without because you're not able to screw up. You're gonna look like a douche.
It's a lot of pressure. Yeah,
like I can play it and I'm good at it, but I also play it for hours. When
I
no
was playing
around.
It at Best Buy right. the other day and did all right. But
oh, yeah, okay,
no, but I can't don't. When it gets hard. I can't do it.
Yeah, there's hard settings. I'm about three quarters of the way through the game on the hard setting, so there's even the extra
oh, really?
Setting.
Yeah.
yeah, and this is Guitar Hero 3, the newest one.
That's when you get the extra finger thing.
Yeah, it's like it's you know there's three button chords. You get three right. buttons at the same time, and it's oh.
I actually saw they had like a thing at one of the stores that was a kids learn and play guitar video game.
Oh, okay.
But it
oh.
actually had all the buttons for chords, and I'm like, holy!
So it was
crap.
Really, really hard.
You
huh?
think Guitar Hero is hard? This yeah. is like. The D minor chord.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like
That's
actually...
supposed to like teach you the guitar. That's
yes.
what that is.
The Guitar
yeah.
Hero 3 came out really fast after the Guitar Hero 2.
The second one came out, well, last year on the PlayStation and then earlier, like in February on the Xbox 360. So.
Yeah.
But the new ones are out. It's Christmas. They launched, you know. Sure. Those games are sort of unexpected. It's like I had Guitar Hero 1 before it was big.
Right.
And then it kind of blew up. And I was like, oh, okay. So, but I got Guitar Hero 3 now on the 360. I have a good time with that.
Awesome.
So, Steve, what are you into these? Oh, speaking of, I saw a movie starring your personal hero. You're going to have to
John
see.
John Cusack?
There's two movies coming out from John Cusack.
The Martian one?
You're going to have to sit through both of them.
Oh,
yeah, he's
God.
Got two. One's coming out like
and
this month.
Both
and the one's
very
next
maudlin.
Month. Yeah, it's the one's about a kid that thinks he's a Martian. The other one's about
yes.
this, the mom, his wife dies and.
Grace is gone.
Grace is gone. The wife
his
dies.
Wife dies in a rock, and John Cusack has to raise two girls by himself.
Right. He doesn't want to tell him, so he takes some candy.
Joel laughing away.
Oh, God.
No, they say.
These are the days I'm glad I don't have a girlfriend.
No,
I'd be watching that bullshit.
Again, I haven't seen them because they're not out yet, but they say that it's some of his best work. They say they're expecting the Academy Award for him.
Isn't the Martian Kid
nomination.
Movie awful, though?
Martian Child, it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's got to be better than Must Love Dogs. That was just
true.
Awful.
True.
That was
it was better
awful.
Than Fred Claus.
You know, I watched Must Love Dogs, and what bothered me is like when at the very end, that scene that always happens, you know, at that traumatic scene, he's out rowing his little kayak or whatever, and she jumps into the water. I'm like going, isn't he going to make it back to the dock eventually? Can't you just wait at the dock and not be a psycho? If I had a girl that jumped into the thing because she had. I go, you're nuts. Get the hell away from me. That wouldn't, I go, if you would have been at the dock, we'd be together right now. But now you're fucking crazy. So it's not going to happen.
But see, I don't. See, I'm glad I don't. Like I said about having the girlfriend thing, like that movie. But the girl, that sounds like something I'd have to see.
Grace is gone. You know.
Yeah, I'd have to see that. I'd have to see. God, I had to sit through the.
There's
fucking
a lot of weepies coming.
If
out.
I got to sit through another fucking Zach Braff movie, I swear I'll just never get laid again. That
you know
fucking
what?
Douchebag.
No, wait a second. That one he did was good. What was that one? The first one, the
Garden State.
Garden State
I
was good.
Garden State. I thought Garden State. Sucked.
That was good, but that the move
the Last Kiss.
The Last Kiss wasn't that great.
It was bad. And then the other movie that's the same goddamn movie. What was the one? The Cameron Crowe movie. Zach Braff wasn't in it, but it was the same goddamn movie.
Mm, which one?
The one that Cameron Crowe made with
Elizabeth.
Elizabethtown.
Oh, one of the single
that was. I mean, that
movies.
Was just another exact same bullshit.
I didn't see that.
We did an episode where I talked about Elizabethtown for like an hour.
And I've seen it on cable since. I didn't realize because, a lot of people didn't see that at the theater.
I like Garden State, but the one that you just said, the other one.
The Last Kiss.
The Last Kiss was so horrible. He cheats on his girlfriend and all this kind of crap.
That's a movie in which.
And he sleeps on her porch for a week. Doesn't he have a job or a life?
Well, that was Elizabethtown was the same kind
of
crap.
That's a movie
that.
Where we have to feel his pain because she has to choose between marrying Jacinda Barrett. Or banging Rachel Bilson.
Yeah.
It's like we talk about this. This is one of my pet peeves in Hollywood.
Right, yeah. Right.
They make a movie where the guy's got two choices.
Yeah.
Right. Hot or hotter.
Yeah.
And it's like you sons of bitches. And then it's like the same girl.
He could just bang her and then not tell his wife. To me, it was like ridiculous. He didn't have to tell her.
Right.
It was retarded.
That was like in Little Children. The guy was married to Jennifer Connelly, but banging Kate Winslet.
Yeah, that was
what?
A great one.
Well, what the hell? What the? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a terrible life you live.
Jennifer Connelly was so awful.
Right.
That you couldn't just enjoy sex with her.
Right, right.
But I feel sorry for this guy either way.
Yeah.
You're getting two hot pieces of
tail. Well, there's the thing with the Zach Braff and Elizabethtown where it's these
not Zach Braff.
Guys coming in touch with their emotions.
Right,
and
right.
John Cusack is kind of maybe started all that stuff.
Well, he did
years ago.
I'll tell you what, Martian Child is kind of like if the guy from High Fidelity adopts a kid.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing. It's like a little
like High Fidelity is another thing
that
I
sounds
thought
fun
was,
though. I liked High Fidelity.
You know,
it's not as good. No, actually, I'm overselling it, but High Fidelity has other characters in it to make fun of stuff.
Sure, sure. But see,
this has Joan Cusack as his neurotic sister, which is a very big casting stretch.
Well, I'm getting kind of sick of Joan Cusack being in all his movies. That's kind of like Jeremy Piven was in every one of his movies.
Now it's her and Oliver Platt are in all his movies.
Yeah. That's true.
That's his buddy, and it's like it's a John Cusack movie with Joan Cusack as the sister, and Oliver Platt as the chubby wacky friend.
Well,
starting all the way back,
he
to
got
16
Oliver
Candles.
Platt got Piven's roles.
Yeah,
once upon a time, Piven would have been the wacky friend.
Well, it's because
Piven's
Piven
too
and him
big
had
to be the friend. Is that
they had a big fight?
They had a fight because. John Cusack didn't give him the props he deserved or some shit.
Oh, really? Jeremy Piven's all upset.
Yeah, he got pissed at him, yeah.
Now Piven's really a big star.
Do you get the feeling that Jeremy Piven's an asshole just from reading the tabloids?
I'll tell you what, there's a show that's on like Travel Channel where it's Jeremy Piven in India.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You want to? You'll see what an asshole he is there. He's at every ashram all over India.
Yeah.
With the lay garland.
He's kind of all full of himself.
Yeah,
he's
playing,
with
Ravi
Ever
Shankar.
Since he became Ari, that just went to his head, absolutely.
God, what a douche.
He used to be a great character actor, and now it's like,
he's a star now.
Yeah, well.
I am almost interested in going to India, except for guys like Jeremy Piven, and I feel like I'd be a big douche doing it.
Yeah, I don't think you really want to go to India, because I think like when you're in the ashram and it's very spiritual and you're there for an hour. But then, the train that takes 8 hours to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Calcutta, you got
to
smell like
trying to get
piss.
Trying to get a meal in that fucking horrible shit.
I saw
place.
One of the Indiana Jones movies. That was enough of India for me. I didn't eat any more.
Well, see, I actually love Indian food, so it wouldn't be a problem for me. But
I can't stand curry.
But imagine the whole place smell. Imagine,
you would have nothing
imagine
to
you're
eat.
In an Indian restaurant for a week, though. That's more like what being in India is, though. It's not I just went to the restaurant.
Not a single White Castle in all of India.
It
would be very
that.
Tough for you, Joel.
Hey, fuck
it. Would be very tough.
I ain't going there. Fuck all
I
those
know
people.
That.
They could put a White Castle. I'm still not going there.
It'd be made out of pork.
So please come protest Joel's xenophobic ass at our next.
Yeah, I'm xenophobic. Yeah, you never make fun of anybody. You're such a dick. You just attack me because I make fun of Wes Anderson, for God's sake.
This is probably the first time I've ever been on a show where Corey wasn't being completely racist, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's true.
it's shocking turn of events.
Jeez. All of a sudden, I'm a dick. I'm a racist prick. I've said such I've said all such of a awful sudden, things on
like
this show.
Like, this is a recent development.
No, but not today.
This came out of your ass suddenly.
Oh, please.
Hey, I know, I'm sometimes racist. I don't care. I don't have a... I mean...
It depends. Yeah. I mean, I think there's things that you can clearly make fun of people about, and then there's...
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I don't think stereotyping is a problem. You know, just like they talk about, you know, when they talk about police doing the, what do you call it, the profiling
racial
stuff like
profiling,
that.
Racial profiling,
Here's the thing. If profiling works, then profiling is a good thing. It doesn't matter to me, in my opinion, if it's like, oh, they every time they pull over a black person, they think it's because they have drugs. Do they always have drugs? They always have drugs. Well, then they always did. That's good. But, he's doing the job.
Are you for racial profiling?
I mean, it's like when they pull over Jason Bensie.
Right. Well, look at Jason Bensie. He's covered in tattoos. Yeah. He's got that goofy Wolverine sideburns crap going on. The guy probably has drugs.
But I mean, he looks like a guy who smokes pot.
That's what I'm saying.
And I could see that if he looks like a guy who smokes pot, you know. Imagine they pull you over and, you know, there's candy in your car. Like, you could see that.
Yes.
There probably is some sort of fruity beverage or.
If comic books were illegal and they pull you over and you're going.
But are you for racial profiling because you're not really you don't really fit the profile of who they're looking for?
No, what I'm saying, if you don't. Here's
a
the thing.
New York Jewish intellectual communist crackpot. Yeah,
if you don't want to be profiled, don't commit a crime. And you will be let go. Okay. I mean, they pull you over and they go, okay, no drugs or whatever. You're free to go. No, your car's not illegal. There's no guns. There's no.
50 years ago, you had your own car. Down with a fucking fork up your ass.
Oh, that's.
What? Is it?
You can talk.
This is from Steve's recent new comedy CD.
He's a nigger. He's a nigger.
Oh, my God. All right, so
that stands for any race, though, no matter what the crime could be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to pull over a carload of let's say Chinese people looking for immigrants,
right?
You know,
okay.
People that cross the border.
All right, let me.
If you see a carload of Mexicans, there's a chance one of them is illegal.
Let me blow a hole in your racial profiling story.
All right,
you invoked him earlier, David Berkowitz.
Okay,
guy was a murderer running around New York City, terrorizing the town. Look like a douche that works at the post office.
Like an accountant.
Right, you know what I mean? There was nothing about David Berkowitz that looked even remotely frightening.
But no.
Dylan Klebold.
Serial
and
killers.
Harris.
That's what serial killers are, though. They're profiled as the people that don't look like they're going to do anything.
I understand.
But generally, when they're
friends.
Pulling people over, they're not looking for serial killers.
That's right. That's my point.
And I'm not saying racial profiling probably doesn't work, but the problem is that when does it stop? Because I remember Michael Moore did a thing where he was trying to get – he had a white convicted felon.
Right.
And television's Yaphet Kotto, both on a corner trying to get cabs.
Right, I heard about that.
And the white guy got cabs every time, and Yaphet Kotto was standing there with a bouquet of roses and couldn't get picked.
And they changed it. The one guy would be dressed like a slob. The other guy would be dressed like really nice. But, you know, that's – I don't think that had anything to do with racial profiling is the fact that black people don't tip.
Okay. Well, I think we found the name for this show. Black people don't
care. There it is.
I love the pause you guys just
went. Well, that's a little bit of a...
I waited tables, man. And when
really?
I waited tables,
is that true? Here's...
The black people didn't want to wait on the black people because black people don't like to tip.
Really?
That's
But do they just leave nothing?
Or less than 10%, for
really?
Sure. Almost inevitably.
Here's why I probably have not said anything racist on the show today. Look what they did to Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think... Anybody who knows me knows that the stuff that I say is 89% satire.
Sure.
And the other remaining percent is stereotypical things that I actually believe.
Sure.
But if I start throwing out racial stuff, it's a joke. It's a spoof of racist attitudes.
Sure.
But look at Dog.
If you've got a huge mullet, you can't really say the
N-word. If the king of the trailer park, Hill Jacks,
can
get busted for using it, who would have thought that guy, a bail bondsman with a 9-foot mullet,
mm-hmm.
Can't say the N-word anymore.
The problem is
what's the world coming to?
He's the victim of his own look and his own attitude in that one because no one looks at him and goes, oh, we should give him a pass because look at the guy. The guy's just clearly a scumbag.
But who looks at him and thinks he never said that before?
I don't know.
What I say, who cares if he says it?
Nobody cares if he says it. People care if they say it on tape, on TV.
But
that's really what it comes down to.
He said
or whatever.
It on a phone conversation privately with his son, afraid that the woman was going to try to bring him down with whatever, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, it is what happened, and he should know. If you're a public figure, you know what happens.
That's the problem.
And, you know, Corey and I, God forbid we ever get famous and people find these tapes.
We'll have to bury some episodes of the show so far in the ground.
That's a valid point.
I have given the complete archive to the AP.
He's first to go.
And they will be combing over all of your old Nazi German jokes.
I made this for the Reagan Library. I made this tape on the Sunday day.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve, for coming in today. It was a pleasure having you in here, Steve.
Thanks for having me again,
guys. We love straightening out.
Where will you be appearing, Steve?
I'm going to be at the I guess I don't know when the show's going to air.
Plug anything after
I'll
next
be,
week.
Next weekend I'm at Wyandotte, at the Comedy Room in Wyandotte.
Okay.
After that, I'm going to be in, I'm all over the place because I'm going to be in South Dakota or Iowa, South Dakota.
What's your website?
Yeah, website.
SteveSabo.com.
All your booking and
SteveSabo.com.
Right,
everything you want is going to be right there.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for coming in today, brother.
Thanks, man.
It's an honor to have you in here. It's always fun. So look for Steve Sabo on his website and at a strip club near you. And he'll be buying aquadots immediately following the show.
Hell so yeah.
Wherever there are body shots being done,
exactly.
Steve Sabo will be there.
Body shots, there'll be aquadots.
All right, guys. Later on.
It's a very funny Steve Show.
Yeah. Yeah.